it's really a privilege to be here. There are two things that I love the most. One is discipleship, and another one is our youth. So whenever I have opportunity to get excited more people for those two things, I take it. So thank you for having me here. Like I love what I do, and I love to talk about something that I'm passionate. So you'll get to see that in the next hour and 15 minutes. But just a little bit about myself. So my name is Zala. I am Slovene, from Slovenia, not Slovakia, but lots of mixes many times. But tiny, like small country right next to Italy. We used to be part of Yugoslavia. And in the whole country, there's about 2 million of us. And in the whole country, there is maybe 1,000 evangelical believers. So it's a very, one of the most unreached nation, I think number 12 in the world when it comes to evangelical believers. But the Lord, but what I love the most in the even in the context of that, our capital is called the name of our capital is Ljubljana, which means beloved. And I truly believe that our country is dearly beloved. And today I will share mostly stories and some practical things and tools that the Lord used in my life to reach me. I accepted Christ when I was, well, it was a process. For me, it wasn't like one moment and I made the decision and my life has been different ever since. It was a process, but like age 17, 18, it was like a year and a half, the Lord captured my heart. And basically today what I'll talk about is how the tools and people that I was surrounded with were pointing me to Christ, and hopefully that will give you some practical tools as well and excitement to reach this new generation. This new generation really needs the gospel. A lot of people are walking away, and we have this privilege and I think also responsibility to share Christ with them. So I work for Josiah Venture. Has anyone heard about this organization? Just to get, okay, yeah, quite a couple. So Josiah Venture started almost 30 years ago in Czech Republic. And it was basically the same vision to see a movement of God among young people in Central and Eastern Europe that are based in the local church, that are growing in the local church, and that through that, the society has changed. That's the same vision that we're still following. And 15 years ago, I was one of the kids who wanted to learn English. Heard about God because Slovenia used to be very Catholic, but always thought God is somewhere up there, a little bit distant. Oh, I actually have a picture. So this is me. This was my second. It's not good quality picture. It's been 15 years. But this is me on my second English camp that our local church put on to share the gospel. And I came only because I wanted to learn English. And in the evening, the gospel was shared. And my first year, I was like, I don't care. Like, why do we need to talk about this Jesus? I've heard of him. Like, it's fine. I don't need to talk about all these details. But the seeds were planted. And then 2 years later, when I came to my second English camp, the evening program was my favorite part of camp. And I couldn't wait to hear the speaker talk about Jesus and then go to small groups and see what this means practically and what other people think. And meeting people who are so loving and caring towards one another that I've never seen before. Where the Lord really captured my heart was seeing the loving and respectful relationship between a husband and a wife, which I, like, in that sense, I haven't seen before. And that's where the Lord really got my attention. So even if you are not working with young people day to day, day in, day out, they're watching. They're watching how you interact with other people. And even without knowing, you have influence on them. It truly, like, I saw that captured my heart. And then I had people who were walking alongside with me and pointing me to Christ. So, but let's just go. So the hope for this session is, I love this verse in 1 Corinthians So it says, "For though I am free of all, I have made myself servant to all, that I might win more of them. To Jews I became a Jew. Those who are under the law, I respected the law. I became as one under the law. To those outside of the law, I became one outside of the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak." The hope for this session is that we get to hopefully understand a little bit better the young people. For sure, not fully. I still don't understand many things that they do. The purpose is that we love them. And if we love young people, or even, you know, it can be not just young people, anyone, that changes everything. So my hope is that by the end of the session, we all will be more excited for young people and love them more, because that is the great command, to love God and to love others. So who are young people today? Just out of curiosity, how many of you are part of, like, work with young people on a weekly basis, maybe? Mm-hmm. Okay. Also at home, yeah, that too. Like that so count. Like, yes, 100%. That's youth ministry at home, for sure. Okay, so I'll just go a little bit through the theory. I'm sure you've seen this. Like, there are different generations, even in this room. How many of you are Generation Y? Maybe like just your hands up. Okay, Generation Y. Do we have any Generation Z? Okay, Y or, yeah, huh? Oh, there we go, we have one person, yes. but just so you know, when I talk about young people, I will mostly talk about Generation Z, and now we also have Generation Alpha, who is coming, like they're, what now, 10, 11, 12, like 12 and below. And a lot of research is still being done for the Alpha. I will mostly just talk about a little bit Generation Z. So those are the teenagers and young adults that are around us, that are in our churches and outside of our churches at this point. But let's look at the first picture. Does anyone know who this is? Any guesses? Okay, just wait a little bit. Anyone else besides Generation Z member? Thank you so much for being here. Anyone know, or any guesses who or what this person could be doing? YouTuber? Okay, one guess. That's a great guess. Anything else? Actor? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
She has a very famous face.
She has a very famous face. Yes, okay. Can you share who this is? She's a TikToker. It's very close, very close. So TikTok, and I won't assume that everyone knows what this is, but it is an app that young people use it all the time now. And there's a lot of videos. Guesses how many people follow her? Her name is Charlie D'Amelio. Yeah. How many people follow her? Any guesses? Just out of curiosity. 10 million? Yeah? Okay. Yeah? 5 million. Huh? Sorry?
I would say she's somewhere around top 10 on TikTok.
She's actually, right now she's number one. How many people are following her? Mm-hmm. She's top one. So we have maybe Will Smith is number five right now. So maybe those of us that are not the Gen Z, we know him. There is 140 million people follow her.
Wow.
So I was like, that's, you know, there's 2 million of people in my country. That's 70 countries, like Slovenia's, that are following her. But that's where the young people are. So my next question for you is, how much time do Gen Z spend online every day? What do you think?
6 hours.
6 hours? Okay.
12 hours.
12 hours? Yeah. Uh-huh. 24. That's a good one. Yeah. It's, you guys are actually really good.
Every hour.
It's approximately 8 plus hours every day on online. That's where they are. So one really good question is also how to reach them online. I'm still figuring that out. I don't have a great solution, but I think it is important. Like what with that, I think it's really as you interact with young people, they're spending 8+ hours every day online. What are they watching? Who are they following? What is that person saying? What's, what are they promoting? Influencers are a big thing these days. And I think it's really good to like to connect with young people to, you know, I became weak for the week. Not that we become young people, but to understand what they're hearing, what they're watching, what's important to them. And not to agree with everything that's said or done, but just to get more vocabulary or even a point of connection. Because once the connection is made and they feel heard, that opens a lot of doors to then speak to them as well. Okay, so but just to like a little bit about the Gen Z, mental issues are more relevant than ever. Which on one hand, I find this so surprising because even as we, you know, watch it, like if we look at different generations, like I look at my grandparents, like my great grandparents, they went through First World War. My grandparents, they went through the Second World War. My parents, so my country used to be part of Yugoslavia. There was a brutal war going on during like when my parents were being young adults. And now we have Ukraine, unfortunately. But outside of Ukraine, there are like life-threatening circumstances that our young people are facing. However, the mental health issues are more relevant than ever. Isn't that interesting? And they do want to talk about mental health. Social pressure to perform and compete. Like everything is online. I am so thankful that when I was going to high school, I took a train every day for like 50 minutes. So morning train, I left at 6:30 in the morning. I'm so thankful that phones didn't have good cameras as the picture that I showed from 2007, because there would be a lot of pictures of my mouth open because I slept on the train. And there's like, as soon as something happens, you know, you can be online in 2 seconds. And there is a lot of social pressure to perform, to compete, but they also, on the other hand, really like transparency. And not that I'm fine, but like being real. That's extremely, extremely important to them. So when you talk with young people, share about hard things too. Don't just be like, I'm fine, let me just sell you and give you advice, but be real, be honest. They're really looking for that that connection. And in the past, that was done, you know, there weren't phones where you had to talk more. And now with phones, there's a lot of more, I would say there are some really deep friendships, even online, but it's not face-to-face, and it is different. So when you talk with young people, be real, like be open, be honest, because they can sense really quickly if something is like, I'm fine, I'm great, and just talking about surface level. So I also put for Generation Alpha, but I'll just say that like they're very much influenced by COVID. And I have quite a couple of friends, my mom and my sister are also teachers, and they said that third grade, so... those are the kids that started school in person and then went online, that the third grade, that generation is by far the hardest generation to discipline, for them to listen. And I have another friend who just became a horse therapist, an amazing ministry that she's doing. But she said, I need to learn how to talk with young people again, because teenagers would come. So not alpha generation, but teenagers would come all with hoodies up. She would ask a question. No one would respond. Like she would even be like, okay, lunchtime. And they would still be sitting. And she said, I don't know how to connect with young people anymore. And COVID had, there will be lots of consequences from COVID. I'm sure you've noticed some already, but we will need to engage more with young people and really work on relationships and even, I think, coach them a little bit how to have conversations in person. They're doing great being doing those online. Here are just some of the things that I, as even as I was doing research, a lot of like what they're hearing and what they're seeing and what are the messages that are coming out. Everything is about, you know, speed, swipe left, swipe right, go up, go down. So a lot of times slow is hard, slow is bad, hard, boring, risk, labor, that's all bad. They want instantly, they want a quick. And especially if you talk to them or if you have any training for young people, it needs to be really quick. It needs to be changing all the time. This would be already boring. So I don't know, Gen Z, how like you thank you for being here, but like it needs to be quick. It needs to be changing really quickly. So this is just some of the theory, just some of the bases that I want to start it first. But I want to go to the Bible and I want to look at the example of Jesus and what he was doing. He was hanging out with teenagers too, very different context. But I want to look at what he was doing and then go into very practical, okay, what can we learn from his ministry? So as we look at Jesus's life, there are five challenges that he was giving to his disciples. First one is come and see. What comes to your mind when you hear this, come and see? Or is there any story that comes to your mind?
Where do you live?
Where do you live? Mm-hmm. And then Jesus was like, come and see. Mm-hmm. And that's the verse too. Yeah. But first challenge was that Jesus came gave. He didn't have a relationship with disciples, like, and he said, hey, come and see. Be with me. That for me was English camp. I went to English camp, and it was my first interaction with the actual gospel. So then we have repent and believe, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, and I'm sending you. So now, in this, like till the rest of the session, we'll look at these five challenges, and we'll see how can we practically take these challenges and give it to young people, or even if you don't have that many young people in your life, I would say even adults. So as we're listening through this, actually before I'll go to the next slide, we'll take like 30 seconds of just silence and I'll pray and for the Holy Spirit really to show who is the person that you need to be listening for. Like, or what skill out of everything that we'll share and talk about, is there one person or two people that the Lord is highlighting in your life that you could take some of these tools to start working with or share with them? Okay? So I'll pray. We'll take 30 seconds and just like I ask the Lord, who is one person in my life right now that I can, as I'm listening, that the Lord is highlighting to start using this in this relationship? Jesus, thank you that you are good. And Lord, you're working with teenagers and you were giving challenges, and thank you for the Bible that we get to read and learn from you. So Holy Spirit, we want to just take a couple of seconds right now. And if there is one person in our life, if that's our child or I don't know, a neighbor next door or a young person in our church or outside of our church, would you highlight that person? And as we're sharing and talking about discipleship and discipling young people, would you highlight as well what's our next step with this person? So, Holy Spirit, we're here, we're listening. And yeah, we just want to take like 10 seconds or so to give you opportunity to highlight a person in our life. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay. So if that person who the Lord highlighted is an unbeliever, this is the first challenge. So come and see is for everyone who don't know Christ yet. I grew up in Catholic Church, and I don't know how Catholic churches are in other countries in Europe, but in Slovenia, it's very much you are a good person, and that's your ticket to heaven. And period. That's it. You just need to be a good person and have good values. And when I came to camp and for the first time heard about Ephesians 2:8, that we're saved by grace, not by our works, my whole, I don't know, philosophy, system of how to see life collapsed. But that was exactly what I needed. And as we look also in the Bible, there are four kinds of people that we find in the Bible. And you can even, like, so, and this is, I think you have it in your handouts too, or I can even send you the PowerPoint if needed. But you can check those verses and go even more into depth. But like we have, first one is curious. So those are the people that are actually interested and are like, hey, you start to talk to them about Jesus and they're responding and they're asking questions. Then the second group of people are religious ones. Who would those be, the religious ones? Sorry? Yeah, Nicodem is, yeah, and that's the scripture too. What about in our lives? Like what would be some of the characteristics of young people that are religious? Maybe they go to church. Maybe they're in our church. Mm-hmm. What else? What's
other religions?
Other religions. That's very true.
Muslims.
Yeah, they could be Muslim. So they have some spiritual awareness. Yeah. Anything else? What would be some of the characteristics of the religious?
Maybe lots of virtue signaling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they think they know and they're okay. That was totally me. Anything else?
Self-righteous,
yes. Very much. Or I don't deserve, I'm not worth it. It's, I think, same side, same coin, but just two different sides. Mm-hmm. Okay, then we have disinterested. How do you recognize a disinterested person? What are some of the comments that you would be hearing?
Whatever.
Whatever, yeah? Mm-hmm.
This stuff is not for me.
Yeah, this is not for me. I don't care. Anything else? What could be the first, there's a lot of common knowledge right here. What could be the first step to go to this person if they're not interested? How can we engage with them? Yes, food. Yes, very true.
I have kids like that in my
business. Uh-huh, yeah.
My friends are more important than coming here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to do any Bible study.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so take them out for ice cream. Anything else?
So we do the movie nights.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they sit back and do, cell phone stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes they watch.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
They come.
That's good. They are coming. Mm-hmm. Yes. Friendship. And I think that's crucial. And as we're going through all the challenges, that's the bottom line. Inviting them over for dinner.
Pizza.
It's pizza or whatever. Yeah, or outside, McDonald's or whatever it is. But I would even say invite them to your homes. And I don't know how that's, different cultures, maybe that's differently acceptable and not acceptable. So do contextualize everything I'm saying right now and in this session. But inviting them to your home, it changes something. Because then that trust is being built. And if they trust you, even they don't maybe agree with you, they will listen. And bottom line, it's not about it's about being loved. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And hear their interests and talking and ask them about TikTok. Even maybe we don't know or it's not that interesting to us. Okay. And then even a post, and those are those who are like, I'm against it. I don't want anything to do with that. I have a cousin like that, but I still, and he loves computers, and sometimes I'll listen for an hour of like computer thing, even though I have no idea what he's talking, but I love him. So even though I have no idea all the computer language, I love him and I will listen because I care about him. And maybe that will open some more doors in the future to share. But my first is just to love him and be with him. And I love this quote, being heard is so close to being loved that for the most people, these two are almost indistinguishable. We just need to listen. And young people are talking. Maybe are just talking differently than what we are used to. But listen, ask a lot of questions. Don't just talk. That was hard for me to learn. I learned it the hard way because I am. If there's silence, I'm quick to jump in and just share my opinion. But do ask questions. And I like one of the seminars that I'll also do is coaching and youth. But it's basically just coaching principles and how to ask questions. Questions are powerful. Even this morning, you know, in the plenary session, Peter Williams, he shared about how Jesus was responding with questions. So even when they ask you, respond with a question sometimes too. Not always. Don't always respond with a question, but questions are really good. Okay, so that's the come and see. So the second one is repent and believe. I think that's quite obvious, you know. So in the first challenge, young people are, we're building relationship with them. And then they, and hopefully at the, by this point, they've heard the gospel. They've heard who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for them. And now they just need a challenge to respond and to start following Jesus. So one of the things that we did, we started just before COVID. And then as you see here, I don't know how much, like how good you see it, but there is a picture of a Zoom call as we are all very aware of. But one of the content of the small group that we started to use was 3/3. And it's very simple. We're using this content with believers and non-believers. So we have, even right now in our church, we have quite a couple of groups with young people who don't believe in Christ yet or are not followers of Christ, but they are reading, they're interested in reading the Bible, and this is what we use. So here are the questions too, and it's very simple. You can do it, like as soon as you leave this, you could do it yourself. And it's, you look at the first you meet, and you just, you focus on how was your week? Like, what are you thankful for? Like, what was good this week? And then what was hard? Like, what was hard for you this week? And just hearing from one another, what are you thankful for? What was hard? And this already is like building some of that transparency. Then we focus on the Bible. So this is look up, we read the Bible passage, usually one chapter. And again, we look at like what verse stood out to you or what verse did you like? What questions do you have? Or sometimes even with some young people, we say like what verse you didn't like? And then what have you learned about God and what have you learned about people? So it can be even really quickly, like, dislike, God, people. So it's even some motions that would like to help us remember. And again, here's, you see, it's all questions. It's not us teaching them, but through questions and sharing, we can also point them to Christ. To the real truth or what the scripture is actually saying. And then at the end, we look forward, how our week will look like. And one question could be like, what do you want to remember from this reading? And what action step would you like to take? We also have, just to give it even, like to make it even more simple, we actually, with Josiah Venture, we made an app. So, and it has all this, like it has all the verses in it. Like you can even, you can't see it, but here are different topics that you can click on. Here's then the verse, and then there are the questions, like look back, look up, look forward. So there, and young people love apps. So this app is called Seek App. So Josiah Ventures Seek app, if you're interested, and it could be for believers or non-believers. Because then here down here are the challenges that we're going through. So you could even click on any challenge, like if there is an unbeliever, you click here, and then you have different topics, and then you can go through this format. But it's very practical, and even if we go back online or in person, everyone has a phone, and it's actually cool that they can do something on the phone. But this is just a very practical tool that we've been using, and we've saw a lot of fruit from it. But in the midst of all of that, as we already shared, keep focusing on relationship, not the program. And I think with youth ministry, that I am first one to admit, sometimes it's like it's Friday, it's all about program. And like we need to, you know, have a game and have this. And then I spend way too much time preparing. But I would say if like you have 6 hours a week to give it to the youth ministry, spend max 2 hours planning and then like 2 hours of a youth group, and then be with young people for 2 hours. Invest in those relationships. Don't spend too much time preparing and planning. Just be with young people. There are also different stages of ministry, so of course like there are seasons, but don't forget to be with the people. So these two girls, so it's Manta and Neja, and we've been meeting in my apartment for the past 2 years. Ups and downs during COVID. And Manta actually got baptized 6 months ago. So she accepted Christ a little bit before. We started to meet, and then we invited Neja to join us and reading the Bible. And Manta accepted Christ. We can still be praying that, you know, her roots will grow deep. And unfortunately, Neja just told me that she's not interested in the Lord anymore. So it's always like you can open the space, but then, yeah. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I met them through English camp. So Mance is now coming to our church. I mean, she's right now studying in Portugal, but in Lisbon. But they've come to our church. I invited them to the youth group. We had like youth retreat. I invited them to all events that we put on just so that they get to know people too. But what was the DNA? We were meeting every week or every other week in my apartment. And I, even though I'm not a great cook, I was cooking for them every time because that's how they felt loved. And they got a free meal. So that always, like, food is a lot. So, if you are meeting with young people, just bring food. But not cheap, like, little, what with the cheapest chocolate. Buy good food. Like, it's worth every euro, I can tell you. Okay, so the third one is the Accept Christ, Follow Me. And this challenge is just all about pointing them to Christ, like very intentionally, and growing the roots. So this is where it's really, let's read the Bible together. What does the prayer mean? Praying with them. And it's all about teaching them to go deeper and being, like, again, being transparent and not talking about, oh, you know, Christianity is all about rainbows and it's all grace and it's all great and it's awesome, but being really like, it's actually really hard to be a Christian as well. These are the struggles that I like, or these are the hardships that I've encountered, but I'm here. And I, at the end of the day, let's continue to choose Christ and follow them. But it is a lot of like really going deeper, or not being afraid of going to the hard passages in the Bible. Or like a big maybe question right now with young people is, transgender and what's acceptable, what's not, what the Bible says, what not. Not to be afraid of these questions, but really go and have hard discussions with them and continuing to point them to Christ and what the Bible says. But don't be afraid of hard. And if you don't have the answers, that's okay. Let's go on a journey together and research it together, or like bring someone in. I'm sure there's someone in the church that maybe has, you know, I don't know, some more resources or things, or online. You have a lot of things online. And please do teach young people. YouTube is not good theology. Critical thinking. Because they will search for answers on YouTube. So maybe also be like ask them where they're, what they're watching and what are they learning. But okay, so that's follow me. And then the next one is follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What do you think this challenge means? So they accepted Christ. Now what? Go out?
Evangelize.
How do you teach young people to do that?
By example.
Yes. Someone else? That's so true. God bless them, especially those who have a gift of evangelism and they just run. Yeah. But follow me and I will make you fisher of men. What I love about this challenge, and again, it's in the, I think this was the challenge that the Jesus gave to Peter. And it does not say, follow me and I will teach you how to fish for men. Or it's not, follow me and I will tell you how to fish for men. It says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So here it doesn't say about skill, it actually implies about our identity. I think this expression is so crucial because it's not about skills, it's not about trying to convince them what to do. It's going to like, this is who God is calling us to be, fishers of men. And it's like, so I'm an aunt. I have two nieces, two nephews, one on the way. I love them so dearly. And when I wake up, I know I'm an aunt. Like, and I cannot wait to be with them. I think it's teaching, like, or yeah, teaching our students, our young people, when you wake up, it's like, I'm a fisher of men. And being like, okay, Lord, I'm here. I love you. Show me how to love people around you today. Can you give me opportunities to really be fisher of men today and to share your, like, share the good news or just, I don't know, point others to you? That could be through action. That could be actually sharing the gospel, or that could just be caring and listening and not saying anything. But I think that question, like, Lord, I'm here. I love you. Can I get a privilege of loving others with your love today as well? This, like, it's all about identity. And sometimes, as you said, like, people, like, accept Christ and just start cheering left and right. I oftentimes didn't experience that with young people that I discipled. We have a couple that are just, I'm like, okay, I'll just make sure that what you're saying is actually also, like, according to the Bible. But it's, there is one tool that I want to share with you too, that it's just a very practical tool that you can learn or even start using it yourself. But this one is very practical with young people. So this is, it's called Pray, Care, Share. And it's when you're with a young person and they like, I have like, or even when I was that person, I was like, I'm afraid to share. It will impact my relationship with this person. Or I've shared and they were angry. I'm like, I wasn't that person that it's just like, oh, I see a person, I'll just go and share Christ with them. But one of the things that I saw really, like, just a great tool with young people is we, like, sitting down and being like, Lord, I'm here. Who do you want me to invest in? Or who, in which people, which person's heart are you working? And I get to be an active participant and witness seeing what you are doing in that person's life. So praying, and then as you pray and the Lord highlights someone, starting to care for that person and being intentional. And then as you're hanging out with that person, like starting to share more as well through actions and then also sharing the gospel. But this one is a very practical one. It's pray, care, share. That's it. And it's very easy to teach even a young person, but it's most importantly that you are doing with a young person. Or even, I don't know, if for parents, like maybe sitting down with your kid and being like, let's get a list of 5 people that we as a family are praying. And let's care for them and let's, you know, share gospel with them at one point as well. And then the next one that it's called Teach, Act, Reflect. I also know I'm dumping a lot of tools and skills and all of that today. So like just take one. But one of the things that I love in the when you watch Jesus's how he was engaging with his disciples, there were so many times he taught a concept, he sent them out, and then he processed with them. So for example, there was one, Matei. He is in our church, and he was one of those people who didn't just go and evangelize everyone, but he knew the gospel, he accepted Christ, and then we were at one event, and there I was leading a workshop, and let's talk more about God, and we had only one student who came, but I was like, okay, that's one student, and I brought Matei with me. And then at that, you know, workshop or whatever, I was sharing the gospel with the student who came, and Matei was right there next to me listening and seeing how I was doing. So everything, like if you want your young people to share Christ, bring them along. And it's all about being on a mission together and them seeing what you're doing so that they then learn how to do that as well. And then also send them and challenge them to do it. But then don't just leave it there. Afterwards, ask them how it was, what was hard, what was good, what would you repeat? How did that make you feel? Let's go to Christ. Let's praise him, even if there was no response. But I don't know, even speaking in their obedience and how that was an act of faith. And I don't know, praising God for that. So teach, act, reflect. It's very simple. Show them, do it with them, then send them and reflect how it went. Okay, and now the last and final challenge is I'm sending you. And basically this one is just like one, like they accepted Christ, they started to share, and they can go to a new town, for example, and they can start making disciples. So I was discipling one girl, and she went to study to another city, and she started a college group there. She was ready to go, and there was actually another friend of mine who was mentoring her to how to start a college group in her, because there is a city of, I think, approximately 20,000 people, and there was not one college group there. So she was even going to, so a friend of mine was going to these college student group in the beginning, but then she stopped because people were accepting Christ. And it was beautiful to see. So at one point, you do need to just be like, go ahead, have fun. And they start making disciples who make disciples. But one of the things that I do want to share with this one too is I'll actually share this picture. So it was right before COVID. And Sarah, you saw her, but like she was here just before. And that's one girl that I've been discipling for a couple of years now. And she, just before COVID, we sat down and we were, this was our simple prayer. We're like, Lord, how do you want us to be on a mission together? And then we sat in silence for a little bit. And Sarah then said, hey, actually this girl came to my mind, Marusha. So this is Marusha. And she was like, I've been meeting on and off with her for the past year and a half. What about if I ask her if we can start reading the Bible together? And I was like, that's a great idea. Let's try and do it. Let's be on a mission together. So Sarah asked Marusha, and Marusha was like, yes, I actually would love to read the Bible with you. And then Sarah asked her, do you have any friends that would join us? And Marusha said, I'll ask around and I'll get back to you in a couple of days. So Marusha asked, and she asked her brother, and he said yes. She asked her sister, who's not in this picture, and she was a little bit in and out. She asked her schoolmate, who she didn't really like that much, but she was like, She was like, I'm not sure exactly why, but I just feel like I need to ask her. Her friend said too. This is her boyfriend. She asked her boyfriend, who was not a believer at that point too, and he said yes too. So all of a sudden, we had a group of, it was like five of them, and then we included two brothers as well. Actually, sorry, this is not her brother. This is another boy that we included. And all of a sudden, together with our group of leaders, there was 10 of us reading the Bible on a weekly basis. And after a couple of months, Marusha committed her life to Christ. Her boyfriend committed her life to Christ. Marusha got baptized 6 months ago together with Mansa, the girl that I just shared before. And they are reading the Bible and are so excited about Christ. And Marusha, so she grew up in a Catholic church, and they used to do the Catholic day camps. And now they still do the day camps. They just switched where they just purely share the gospel with all the kids that are coming from her village. And it was basically all of this, like the Lord just started to bless, and it was just a question and a prayer. Lord, we're here. How can we be on a mission together? And then just another thing that I wanted to point out is when you're making disciples, don't confuse them with the leadership skills. That's the mistake that I made. I was teaching them how to lead camp and not how to make disciples. And I learned that the hard way. So as you're making disciples who make disciples, do teach them about good values and how to be a good leader and how to be a good friend. But be focusing on discipleship, and the leader will come out of it too. Don't focus on leadership skills, because you might miss pointing them to Christ. So that's just one of the personal lessons that I learned the hard way. But these are the five challenges. So come and see, repent and believe, follow me and fish for men, and I'm sending you.